consistently preached, and you're consistently accountable for the small things.
On this episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we're joined by Coach Joe David, the highly respected head coach at Mount Lebanon High School in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Coach David has built one of the premier high school basketball programs in Pennsylvania, leading his teams to numerous playoff appearances, deep postseason runs, and a reputation in excellence. His coaching journey has included developing countless players who have gone on to succeed at the collegiate levels. Known for his ability to adapt and innovate, Coach David has sustained success in an ever-changing basketball landscape. Beyond the high school sidelines, he's recently expanded his impact internationally, becoming the owner of an Italian professional basketball team. His unique blend of high school leadership and global basketball perspective makes his story one of a kind. In this episode, we discuss growing and sustaining success at the high school level as a head coach, different tactics he has developed to help his teams grow after each practice, and what the first 2 weeks look like as the owner of an Italian professional basketball team. Please welcome to the podcast, Joe David. Dr. Dish Basketball is revolutionizing basketball training with the number one selling shooting machine in the world. Our innovative systems are the only training solutions that deliver more reps, motivation, and fun, empowering coaches and players to elevate their game faster than ever before. Featuring advanced analytics, immersive game-like features, and an easy-to-use interface, our state-of-the-art shooting machines are the preferred choice for progressive teams worldwide. Welcome back, coaches, and thanks everybody for tuning in to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. You have your hosts here, Alan Major, Doug Caputo, chatting it up today. We have a special guest. There's a lot of things I can introduce him for. We'll go over a lot of those, but the primary thing, and of course, the head coach at Mount Lebanon High School, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Coach Joe David. Coach David, welcome to the podcast.
It's great to be here. It's great to be here talking basketball with you guys.
No, absolutely. We appreciate it, Coach. Thank you.
The one thing we really love to shed light on, of course, there's great coaches at all levels, but the one thing I feel like people might overlook sometime, or like especially the Division III and high school levels, for the 10 and successes that coaches have had. For you, I know we said, and we'll cover all of this, but you are recently appointed the president of Pistoria over in Italy, which we will talk about. I know you're an author. You also run a physical therapy center as well, on top of being a head coach. So you're a busy man. There's a lot going on over here in Pittsburgh for you. Yeah. But you've been the face of Mount Lebanon basketball for over two decades, going into your 25th season. The question I kind of want to start with is, if we rewound all the way back to that very first season in 2001, what was your vision for the program, and how has that evolved over the years now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think my vision for the program was everything, taking my experience of having played basketball, it was everything that I wanted right in a program. The culture, I think, was the most important thing. That sometimes you learn things from bad situations. And I played on some teams that were really, the culture was terrible. The communication, the interpersonal relationships were bad. And I knew that great teams come from guys that get along, that grow together and work together, love each other, are there for each other. And I really wanted to make sure that the culture of Mount Lebanon was just that. And we started laying the foundation, and now it's perpetual, though it's easy because the older guys pass it along to the younger guys. But I think that was more of my vision. I really took the job wanting to give something back to a game that I love and has given me so much in my life, and had no really intentions of trying to win championships or things of that nature. I just wanted to do the best job I could teaching the game of basketball, but more importantly, I think teaching the game of life, teaching life lessons through that game of basketball.
Wow. Yeah, Coach, you had mentioned when you got the job, it was almost like the AD had said, hey, you got 2 years.
I told him I'd give him 2 years.
Oh, you told him you give him two.
I told him I'd give you 2 years because I didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows after that, right?
Yeah.
What was the first thing? I know you mentioned culture. Was that the first thing you felt need to address? What was maybe the first, when you get to basketball, what was like the first basketball thing?
This was a team. This was a team that hadn't won a playoff game, I think, in 11 years before I got there. And I think I've coached close to 95 or so playoff games thus far. But they hadn't won a game. I don't think that they understood what it takes. And I think today's players, it's even more where they don't really understand what it takes to be great, what it takes to be a champion, how hard that is, how much work you have to put into it. And I really didn't try to bring anything with me that I felt from my past plays or defenses. I really wanted to wipe the board clean and say, okay, look, here's what we got. And honestly, I kind of run it the same way. What do I have this year? Do I have a bunch of shooters? Do I have some bigs? Do I have a slow team, a fast team? And how can I put these guys in a position to win basketball games? And so I started reading a lot of books, reading a lot of coaching books, reading a lot of playbooks. And, you know, I read through plays and plays I still do almost every day now. And I read through them and they're cool plays, but I'll read them sometimes. That's easy. That's just a switch. They can defend that. That's nothing. But then I'll come across a play. I'm like, boy, that's hard to defend. I'm putting that one in. Star that one. I'm putting that. We're doing that. That's from a deep, from a basketball perspective. I just saw what I had and preached what I knew and what I was learning. But I wish someone would have taught me the stuff that I've taught them during my basketball career. And that's not an ego. That's not really an ego thing. That's just so much has evolved. There's so many great basketball minds, and the avenues by which we can obtain information has changed so much. You played, we'd have been all different players, different people. So,
and to give everybody a quick glimpse of your career, I know you mentioned you're roughly about 95 postseason games, but you've had 400 career victories, which is a milestone that is phenomenal to be able to achieve. Going into, as I mentioned, your 25th season as a head coach, 426 to 205 overall record. And then I can even say, too, I've been able and fortunate to be able to coach some of your products, some people who have come from your system, one of which still getting a chance to, Brody Barber, a young guy in our system, yeah. But then Blaine Gartley, the guy who ultimately connected me with you, one of the best, if not, I would say, the prime example of what you want from a point guard, right? Like an actual leader, a physical leader will do exactly what he says he'll do, and literally the identity of what you had to make up for a point guard. So we've had two great successes come from your program and has helped us out a ton.
Yeah, Blaine's fantastic, and Brody's learning, and he's going to be a good player for you. But Blaine has withstood the time with that, brought championships to Chatham, and he's just that player that any coach in America would want to have on their team, as part of their program. He's going to do whatever he can. He's going to work hard every day. He's going to bust his can. He wants to be great. He wants everybody to be great. He holds people accountable. He's a great leader, and I know he's moved on to coach now, and he'll be a great coach. Guys like that, you just don't worry about. They're going to be successful.
So one thing I want to talk about, too, is just how you mentioned all of these successes, and that's why I threw all those out there, the 400 career victory milestone. One thing that people don't see nowadays is consistency in a program, and that is, or just sticking around in a program. For you to be somewhere for 25 seasons, and prior to that, as I didn't mention, you played at Pitt University, but then I know you mentioned, too, you did 1 year as an assistant with the women's program over in Mount Lebanon, and then you went right into a head coaching gig. So you were trial and error, take everything on yourself. How did you learn all of these different tactics, methods, if you were immersed by yourself? And then also, how do you keep it consistent over the years?
A really good question. I was always involved in basketball. So I did five-star basketball camp back in the day. I'd always go to five-star and with Howard Garfinkel and that group. So I was always out there coaching and listening and learning. When you're a basketball guy, you can watch any game, but in your mind, you're coaching and you say stuff. And I know better now. Like I remember saying, being up in the stands and watching a game, come on, coach, teach these guys how to box out, for crying out loud. Can't they box out? Like now I know coach taught them for 5 years. Coach taught them 100 times. They're just not doing it. So I was a bit naive, but that's how it all evolved. And I think most of it is just, like I said, reading books on everything. And to a point where it was a little bit obsessive, where I just loved reading about basketball. I'd read about Calhoun's 2-2-1 zone press. And maybe I didn't use it, but I liked reading about it. I went to clinics. I listened to other coaches talk. The Nike clinics with some of the best players and the best coaches in the country. You watch, and maybe Boeheim would be talking and you look over at Sean Miller and he's paying attention. Like he's listening to Boeheim. And then Sean talks and is over there and he's listening to Sean. And I think you just realize that you're never going to know everything. And you just got to keep listening, learning. It's a never ending learning process. So over time, things evolve because you get better at what you do or what you teach. Sometimes your philosophy changes based on the importance of the 3-point line or if there's a shot clock that's put in or the team that you have. And I think it just evolves. But I have a team coming this year, a lot of guys back. And right now I'm going through plays and things like how can I get this guy, more shots? He's good at shooting, but he can't create his own shot. So I got to do something to create a shot for him. What am I going to do about ball handling? Who am I going to put in at the end of the game? They can take care of the ball, the 5 best free throw shooters. Who's that going to be? And what happens, God forbid, someone gets hurt or this happens, who's the next guy to step up? We got to get these guys ready. And so it's always going through your head. And the number of wins and stuff is all cool. I told somebody today, they mentioned that today at the office, a basketball guy from my Lebanon. And I said, I kind of want to stop at 499. You know what I mean? Because the symbolism of that is that I never wanted to do it for the number of wins. You know what I mean? Like, why did you go to 500? Because I didn't do it for the wins. I don't really care about that at all. I just did it because I love to do it. And when I don't love to do it, I won't do it anymore.
Yeah. No, I love that.
Yeah.
What's the key? Because we have a lot of coaches at various levels that listen to the pod. I think high school coaches are the absolute best at getting the most out of what they have. And so when you look at each year, but what's been the key for you, even when your personnel changes, what would you say from year to year are some of your like non-negotiables or cornerstones? Because obviously if you're big, you're going to play bigger. You're going to try to crash the boards, get the ball inside, get more extra shots, offensive rebounding, be more physical. If you have more of a shooting team. So every team has its own, takes a life of its own, a face of its own, but what would you say some of your non-negotiables are, a couple maybe offensively, a couple defensively, regardless of your personnel?
Yeah, another great, really good question. I think a lot of it comes down to discipline. And I think I always say you're going to get what you tolerate as coaches. And there's some great coaches out there. And then I think we kind of alluded to it a bit where some of the greatest coaches may be at a small little D3 school in the Midwest somewhere or in a high school somewhere. You can learn from everybody. And I think just the discipline of it all, hard work, and the combination of the hard work and discipline is really what kind of the cornerstones of what we do. We're never the most talented team. The most common I get is always, how do you get so much out of those guys? We look at them, they don't look like they're going to do anything, but yet when the game's over, they're right there or they won the game. Cornerstones of our, what we try to do is we work on, and we close out, box out defensively. We try to be in our stance and communicate. And we work on that a lot. Like yesterday with open gyms, I spent one hour jumping to the ball. Okay. 1 hour jumping to the ball and not ball staring. Okay. Looking this way, I can see right and left. Looking in the middle, I can see the head on a swivel bit. You can do that. But when I swivel my head, I do lose sight of this guy over here. So I can see them both out of my peripheral vision. And these kids are just like looking this way. You can't look this way. That's a back door. It's going to cost us a game. And it has. So you talk to any coach and say, has ball staring ever cost you? Of course. That's backdoor layups and NCAA games. Guys are staring at the ball. The guy goes backdoor layup. So we try to do those things. And they're all like basic stuff. But I think the difference in our gym is that it's consistently preached and you're consistently accountable for the small things. Because if you let it go, you're going to get it. I can't let it go. And I think from that perspective, from an offensive perspective, I'm really big on great shots and on shot selection. To us, a great shot is a shot that everybody wants. That's the definition. And I don't think I coined that in any way. But I was like, hey, is that a shot that everybody wants? And sometimes I'll ask and I'll say, is that a shot that everybody wants? And I thought it was a really bad shot, but they're like, yeah, we want that shot. Like, I guess you want that shot. All right, we'll play that way. But so, you know, we emphasize obviously layups, the rhythm threes, free throws. We don't like a whole lot of contested twos, but I'm fine with the mid-range game. I'm good with that. But I think the quality of shots, and that's really the hardest part, I think, is from a coaching perspective, is how do you have a really good score? You have a guy that can shoot when he wants to shoot it. But then how do you explain to him what a good shot is and what a bad shot is without taking away that green light and that confidence and that smoothness that he needs and to take the shot when he needs to take the shot and not worry about coach doesn't like this type of shot. And so I think that stuff has happened in the summertime. And we say, hey, listen, I love your shooting, but I think for the most part, I'd say a lot of that wasn't a great shot. Okay. We can get you a lot better. One more pass, or you had a better shot. Be prepared to shoot. Prepare yourself to shoot the ball. That was a better shot. You caught it and shot it. You weren't ready. And now you drive in and take a pull-up jumper in front of, you know, the big guy over a big guy. And what are you doing here? The heat checks. I said to my guys last night, I have a lot of really good shooters. I'm like, or yesterday, why? A heat check doesn't mean you can launch from 45 feet. Exactly. No one ever makes that shot. What are you doing? Like a heat check, yeah, you're in your zone. I get it. I've been there. I know. But don't take yourself out of that zone by taking a really bad shot. Be patient and wait and stay in the zones. Keep knocking them down and just explain to them. I think that, and I think just and the other thing I do a lot of is I do a lot of yelling about shot selection when they don't shoot a shot that I want. And I think that gives them some confidence, right? So now your coach is, he's going to yell, he's going to get on me because I passed up a wide open three. Like I wasn't ready. I always say, I'd love to have a coach who's on me because I didn't shoot the basketball.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think when they hear that part of it and then the other part of it all together, they just know what I'm saying. They know I have confidence in them and we're running plays for them. Hey, this is for you. Like, you don't know the play. How can you not know the play? This, we're running this for you. You should know every play for you. How do you not know the plays for you? This is you coming off a stagger screen or a elevator screen for a three, and you don't know what to do. That to me is I can't process that. So I think those are, I don't know if I answered the question, some of the cornerstones that we do. I think shot selection is tough, but I think that's one of the biggest things that I see with teams is I'll scout a team, looking at a team, like their shot selection is terrible. Yeah, and I played on those teams before. If they make all those shots on that given night, they're going to win a game. Everybody's going to think they're really good, but they're never going to win a championship.
That's right. So, and yeah, you may win occasionally, but yeah, not enough to sustain
it. I played on those teams at Pitt with Curtis Aiken, Demetrius Gore, Charles Smith, Jerome Lane. I came down and made a pass. I might as well go back and play D. It wasn't coming back.
Not getting it back. That's right.
So I just turned around and go play defense. I remember distinctly remembering like stuff about terrible shots that were taken that went in. And I look over at the coach and I'm like, what are you doing? That's going to cost. At the end of the game, when he does that at the end of the game, it's going to cost. And it does.
Fool's goal.
It's just a game because he didn't say, hey, it went in, but it still wasn't a good shot.
I think every great team knows the best shots for them, for their, like, whatever that, there's a menu, right?
And you
obviously transition layup, transition three, mid-range pull-up clean with no hand in your face. Offensive rebound, get to the free throw line. Like there's a menu. Every great team knows, like, on the
We know the analytics.
Yeah, these are what's best for us. Absolutely.
And all that kind of stuff. But I think making them accountable too. So I know we have a lot of meetings and we'll just talk about, okay, what do you guys want to do this year? What should he do for us? How many shots do we want? And I always said that the best players get the most shots. Like, I've had guys that have 18 shots. You don't deserve 18 shots. You don't get 18 shots. What are you doing shooting the ball? That's a problem.
Yeah, not a democracy.
Your best players need the most shots. And if they don't get the shots, then it's up to you as a coach. And how are we going to get them more shots? Yeah.
Well said.
And one thing that was brought to my attention, I had to be sure to ask about, was you take notes after practices and after, I'm assuming, after games and maybe even open gyms. Mm-hmm. Blaine was the one who definitely told me, he goes, make sure you ask him about how he takes notes.
Not a lot of people know that. Yeah. I have drawers and drawers. I have every practice I ever have done is on a piece of paper over here to my right and just binders upon binders from all the different years. If you don't believe me, I can show it to you.
What are some things that you write down?
So I come home every night after practice, or sometimes during practice, I'll keep something in my, because I'll forget a piece of paper in my pocket or a pen, and I'll write something down just to maybe a better way of doing something, an idea that I had. I do a lot of that. But when I come home, I'll go through the entire practice plan again and write notes. This was a little too long. This wasn't that good. We shouldn't have done this before this drill. They were too tired to do this at the end of the, they didn't have enough mental stamina to learn this at the end. It should have been done early on. Was out of it today. Maybe had a fight with his, broke up with his girlfriend. I don't know. I just, this person was, who was there? Who was sick? What do we feel like? What do you think the team's going to do? And at the bottom, I always put Lebo plus 10 for the game. Like day before the game, I think we're going to win by 10. Or I never ever put we're going to lose, by the way. So I always put Lebo plus 10, Lebo plus 2. It's amazing. I'll come back and say, I was pretty darn close. But I did that because when I was at Pitt, I kept some notes at Pitt. And when I played, I kept a journal my senior year. And I remember some of the stuff we talked about. I remember saying coaches are, well, everybody's all enthusiastic. They're letting things go. I thought our practice was bad, but yet everybody's saying kumbaya because we beat St. John's the other night, but we got Georgetown Saturday and we're going to get our asses kicked. And then in my notes, I said, we got our asses. Getty came in, and coaches screaming and hollering. The practice wasn't any good. You know what I mean? And but more importantly with that stuff is that if I have a situation that's repeated, I can come back and look at what I did with my championship teams the week prior to. How much did I scrimmage? Was it good? How are the legs? How are the legs feeling? Did they look tired? Just those type of notes. So I can go back and look at those types of things.
No, I love that. What you're sharing there, and I hope, you know, people listening or taking notes about you taking notes, is it, that helps you, like you're literally developing a thermometer for your team.
Yeah.
And you're literally taking your team's temperature every day. Yeah. And so that information, like over time, that just gives you a measure of your team's health, yeah, literally, physical health, but just team health.
Yeah, after the end of the year, after the last game, I'll write a whole page about everything, you know, what I thought about the players. That's all. And I'm the only one that's ever read that stuff, because I'll say things about players that you probably don't want to hear, like they weren't tough enough, or we're not going to miss so-and-so next year, but things like that. But you know, the other thing, too, is I love criticism. I love, if you want to be the best at anything, like when I love being coached. And so sometimes you got to coach yourself. So my notes will say, yeah, you weren't on today. You didn't have a great day today, energy standpoint, or maybe you let something else bother you during the practice. You better got to bring it tomorrow. Or the assistant coaches were out of it. So-and-so was out of it today. Check with him tomorrow. Make sure things are okay, because we need him this week. We need his energy this week. Things like that. So anything that has to do with that program, is written on that paper.
Oh, say that probably translates a lot going into the Bora defensive system book that you wrote. You probably got all these notes, all these different books that you're reading. I'm sure a lot of that has transitioned into helping this. Can you talk about the Bora defensive system, what that includes, and go a little into there?
Yeah, so I appreciate that. This is something I did during COVID. I was sitting on a plane and I started writing down from a defensive perspective. It started with two guys that I had that couldn't create their own shots. And they were great three-point shooters, but they couldn't create their own. So I wanted to develop a system by which, a chaotic system, so that if you're the opposing coach, you couldn't tell your player, hey, get in someone number 12's face and don't let him shoot. You can do that if I walk the ball up the court and we go back and forth, but you can't do that if I have a helter-skelter defensive system, because he's going to be over here and the other guy's going to be on the other side of the court. So I said, and then from there, I just started writing notes as to every single thing that I would not want done to me as an offensive player in various situations. I played point guard. I have Georgetown. They're in my face. As soon as I get the ball, I got to really work my can to get the ball up and enter the offense. I hated it. So I want to do that to the opponent. I didn't like when sometimes guys do like being trapped. No, I don't like being trapped. Yeah, guys are open, but it's still a trap. So maybe we need to trap more. What would I not want done to me coming off of a ball screen? What would I not done to me coming off a dribble handoff? What would I not done, what would not want done to me in various situations? So I started writing all these notes. We come up with this little system and it was working really well. We played with it. In the summertime, I was using it and I'm playing more guys. They're having more fun. We're getting more easy layups. and end up with maybe 50, 60 pages of notes. And I just started writing it up. And next thing I had a book, and I made a call to a publisher, and they liked it, and they published it. And so now, literally, that system is being used all over the country. I have coaches from Wyoming, Maine, Texas, girls teams, boys teams, college teams, high school teams, AU teams calling me about it. And just recently did some videos on it that we're now going to make. I'm doing with Chris Oliver, basketball, and Chris. So he saw it. He wanted to do a video of it, produce a video from it. So we're working towards that. So I think the drills are really cool. It's for anybody really that wants to have a good defense, make their defense better. It's not just a system, but all these drills make defenses better. And some of them you'll never see anywhere else. Some of them you'll recognize similar to other things that you've done. I'm not saying it's the end all and the be all of everything, but I love, like we talked about before, there's some great coaches, some great basketball minds, way better than mine. And they'll call me about the system and tell me about what they're doing and how they incorporated it. I'm like, that's freaking fantastic. That's really good. I'm going to start doing that. Right. I don't have all the answers, but there's a template out there now that you can use. And it's really been great for us. We've been very successful with it. We've won a couple of championships with it. But I've had some pretty bad board defensive teams in the last few years where I don't have a lot of speed. Maybe we're short. There's a certain characteristic of teams that it works really well with. And from that perspective, the drills, we still do the drills and we'll use it. It destroys some of the weaker teams early. And back in my earlier days, some of these weaker teams would hang around with us. We played a pack line, and pack line is like they're throwing the ball around. There's no shot clock, so they're holding the ball for 45 seconds. I'm like, come on, man, I don't want to hold a ball. Let's go after these guys. So now we make them make a play versus run a play. So they got to make a play. And if they're going to come down and call New York or Knicks one or whatever, you're not going to run Knicks one. We're going to blow it up somehow, some way. It's just been my philosophy that we could sit there and play defense for 30, 40, 50 seconds, and then we ball stare and a guy gets a backdoor layup. So I just assume increase the possessions. And we couple that with an up-tempo offense. But the book's done really was on like the number one for a little bit on Amazon, and it's in Barnes & Noble and all over the place in different countries. And I haven't done a thing for it to promote it. This is probably the first thing in a long time because of the Italian thing. And so I'm just getting around to these next few weeks trying to get these videos together and promote it.
No, that's awesome. To be able to go over all that, it's crazy to me that like immediately what I thought of when you start talking about taking all these notes is trying to perfect your craft. Somebody who is already 426 wins into like their career, who has had a tremendous career so far. And there's still more that we can talk about, but and you're still finding ways to be able to make yourself better listening to other coaches. As you mentioned before, you know, like some of the top Division I or doesn't matter, but like some of the top coaches listening to other coaches at events and things. It's crazy and there's different ways that you can perfect your craft, and you're finding multiple ways to do that.
I'll never stop doing it. When I first had the idea with the Bora system, Coach Gergerich is a friend of mine, Tim Gergerich from the NBA, and he invited me out, and I actually coached out there at the end. I was the only high school coach in the NBA camp that he runs, and he came into town, and we picked up Coach Shea, who's passed away from Allegheny College, and he's a legend, and went to have lunch. And he says to me, and he's 80-some years old. And he says to me, tell me about your defense. And he pulls out a notepad and paper, and he starts writing it down. And I'm like, that's my guy. That's like, he's still, and I'm saying like, how could I teach you anything? But yet you don't know it all. You're never going to know it all. It's a constant pursuit. And I think it's the same as being a player. You talk to the greatest players of all times, and they're like, I got to get better. I got to improve. And I'm no different. I'm nowhere near a great coach. I think I'm decent at what I do, but I want to get better. I want to improve. And if there's a way to do that, I'm going to try to do it. And it's not that I have to do the Bora system every single time. If I have if 6'8", 6'8", and 6'9", rolled into Mount Lebanon, we're going to sit in the 2-3 zone probably, get the ball down low. I don't think we're going to run around after guys trapping them all over the court all the time. You're going to try. The goal is to win the games.
Yeah. Love it.
All right, Coach, let's talk about this. This is something that I know it's been relatively recent.
Yeah.
You have bought and purchased, and I know you are now the president, recently appointed president of Pistoria 2000, a professional team over in Italy. So yeah. Going off of not only do you have a coaching career, the physical therapy, again, a book and an author, but now you're also the president of Pastoria 2000. So talk about one, like getting a professional program over in Italy, but then two, one thing I wanted to make sure to point out was when you took this over, like the first couple weeks, because a lot of times head coaches go into a position, there's things they have to change. Obviously, this is a different situation. You're not the coach or the president, but what were some of the first things you looked to tackle when taking over that program?
So Pistoia is a very traditional, what's the word I'm looking for, historic team in Italy. It's just outside of Florence. This is where Kobe grew up. So his Jelly Bean played for us back in the day. And Kobe was the ball boy at Pistoia. A lot of books I read about Kobe, one of them is a chapter on Pistoia, and it really talked about his love for the game was founded there in Pistoia. And the reason for that is these fans are absolutely insane and they're nuts. Like they love basketball more than anything, okay? It's hard to believe. I live in Pittsburgh where they love the Steelers, right? It's on a different level than that, okay? It's on a different level. This town revolves around their basketball. So through a mutual friend, I got invested in it, and some bad things happened with the money and this and that, and had to come in last year and let me put a little more money into the team. And that guy had to go, and I took it over. And from that point, we were relegated to an A2 situation because we're in last place. But now this team this year is my team. Every player I signed, every player. I have a new coach, a new GM, new director of marketing, you name it, everything's new. And I've been over there, I think, 6 times in the past year. I'm going over again in a week or two for another couple of weeks. I'm on the phone with them almost all the time. There at night, I'm on the phone. It's midnight, and I'm talking to them because it's 6 a.m. there. So I'm talking to my GM, and I go to sleep for 4 or 5 hours, wake up, talk to them again. And it's a lot from an administrative standpoint. From the basketball standpoint, I watched and I did help coach a little bit and do some coaching things last year when I went, but I'm really staying away from that and letting my coach do his thing, because that was one of the problems last year with the team. Let the people do what they do and hire the good people to do what they do. If they don't do their job, then you can take actions. But I think we're going to be in really good shape this year. It's a fun time. The team is now, the city has now re-embraced the team, and it's been really enjoyable meeting those people over there. But it's a different world, man. It's just a different culture. I'm learning that. I'm learning Italian and having lots of really good pasta and red wine. That's the bonus. That's the bonus of it all. But these guys are like, hey, we need you over here. I'm like, it's not like I'm going to Carnegie or Green Tree here, guys. I got to get into a plane and fly for 17 hours to get over there. But I have some good partners, some new partners involved, new sponsors, signed some new sponsors this year. And now it's just a matter of playing the games. Well, they just started the other day. They had 500. I could send you some video of the games. It's kind of unreal. But the first practice, all I did was stretch. We had 500 people chanting with flags to chant, and it's 99 degrees outside. It was like 110 inside called the Pellicrera, and they were still there chanting, and they love their teams. They're great people. They're good people, and I just wanted to do right by them. I'm fortunate to be in a situation where I could help them out, and I'm just happy to be able to do
that. Coach, I can fully 100% sign off on what you said about Italy and Italian. So I was fortunate enough to spend 2 weeks over there this summer doing some NBA youth camps.
And, were you in Trieste? Where were you, Trieste?
I was more down south. I was in the eastern coast for a week, about an hour from Ravenna.
Okay.
And then the second week, I was in a western coast called Montalto di Castro, which is about an hour and a half from Rome.
Okay. We're up just in we're in the middle of Tuscany.
Yeah.
So Florence there and Siena, Lucca, Pisa, all those areas.
Tuscany, that's a lot of olive oil. That's where
olive oil, man.
A lot of olive oil being made around it. Oh, I'm still working off the pasta. But incredible people. I just had an absolute blast.
And that's the fun part.
They are passionate.
With the season coming up, is that when I go over there, I get to go on the away trips with them. So I get a chance to see other parts of Italy. And one of the areas I'm not overly familiar with is below Rome. And the Sicily, Palermo, those areas, and we have some games down there. So hopefully I'll get a chance to get down there. Beautiful.
Rome took my breath away. I had to spend a night there before I went to another camp in Poland. And I was only in Rome for about 6 or 7 hours because I had a 4 a.m. wake up to catch a flight. But just an unbelievable, like I said, I'm still flying high. I don't be surprised if I try to just live vicariously through you as the year progresses.
If you ever get near Pistoia, you always got to give me a call.
I would love it.
Because I can get you, you'll guarantee you'll get a good seat.
Well, be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, no, I'm happy. I'm happy. I just had someone said, I'm going to Florence and I'm going to come back. I said, yeah, let me know. We'll get you to a game. It's easy.
That's great stuff.
Jeez. Like I said, I mean, we love platforms like this to be able to give the opportunity to shed light on coaches. Obviously, there's great coaches all across. I know how this is how we started, but all across different platforms. We really love to shed light, especially on like more of the Division III high school, because we feel like if people don't necessarily know basketball, they maybe don't get the praise or just like the knowledge that people are like, oh, maybe they don't know as much. There's so many great coaches. You obviously are a testament to that. All of the different things that you have going on, it definitely speaks volume. So it's great to be able to see all of this, and especially you be right in the background. I know I was at one of your games last year at Baldwin too, so it's great to be able to catch some of your games. But that being said, just tying up your whole career, putting it all into one thing, if we were to put you back and ultimately sending you back into your first coaching position, because it's where you're at now, knowing what you know now, though, about going into that first year as a head coach, is there any advice you would share with younger coach Joe David going into that first year?
I think any young coach just starting out or a younger me, I think the thing I would say to them would be to be, you have to be you. You have to be you. You can't be Mike Krzyzewski. You can't be Bob Knight. You can't be John Calipari or any, you can't seek out to be that person. You can take things from all these guys, but you have to use your own personality and be who you are. You can't try to be anybody else because it'll be too fake. It's not going to be authentic. Be your authentic self. Work your tail off. Learn the game. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Check your ego at the door because you're going to make mistakes. You're going to blow a game. And just be able to say, yeah, that was my fault. I messed that up. It was a bad call on my part. I'm going to learn from that and do better. And I would just say just be in a constant, never-ending pursuit of knowledge of the game and listening to other coaches anytime you can. And not just the X and O's part of it, but just listening to how they talk, what terminology they use for things, how they go about their business. I think I can walk into literally anybody's practice, I think, and walk out with some gem of some sort and say, boy, I love the way they said that. I've been saying this all along, you know, this, and they use this one word. And I was like, that's the greatest word in the world. I'm doing that tomorrow. Like, that's fantastic. And the way they said that and the phrases that they use or the way they, and so I would just tell them that. Don't get in it for the ego part of it, don't get into it because you are trying to win X amount of games or want to get to the Hall of Fame of this or that. You better love it and you better have a really supportive wife and family. And that's very important also. And just give back, man, just give back to a game. This game has given me everything I have in my life. You know, I met my wife through this game, my business is a direct relationship to me playing basketball, you name it. It's given me everything. So this is just a way of giving back.
Said it better, honestly.
I think, honestly, that was one of the best pieces of advice that I learned as a young coach, too, was primarily everybody would watch a coach or two that they really liked. Like, I was particular on watching John Wooden. Mm-hmm. I'm not a get in your face, cuss you out, and scream, though. So I'm like, at the time, I'm thinking, it's hard to, I'm not that type of person. How can I be that? And then I watch Brad Stevens, and I know Alan rips on me all the time for this, but Brad Stevens is more of a calm demeanor, just sitting there, and he just has a conversation with people. And it's just the difference between the two, but they're both phenomenal. You obviously, you take pieces, but you mesh it into who you are. And that couldn't be any better advice, just because, like I said, that was literally one of the first things I had to learn as a young coach, was just take pieces and be able to form that into yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. And I know Coach also has met Coach Wood, and I spent some time with Coach Wood, and just to be able to go there and ask him those questions. Do you have, Coach, what about the referees? What do you say to the referees? Or do you have to listen to Coach Wood and tell me about on their 10th championship in 12 years that, I forget the dude's name, gets up and reams him during the banquet, all right? Stands up during the banquet and gets on him. just listen to the way he talks about that and him saying he has every right to. And I said, what about parents, coach? He said to me, parents have every right. They want their kids to play. They love their kids and they want them to play. And it's up to you to talk to them and make sure that they understand where their kid is and be fair to them. And then just the way he goes about it, like you said, is just, you're like, you're writing stuff down and it's not easy. It's not easy. Like he'll tell me stuff. I remember him saying one time to me, I don't make my guys run. I don't punish them by running. And I said, well, I do. Well, I punish them. Like that's one thing I probably still do if they get on the line. Is there something about that line, getting on the line, gets the guys focused.
It messed up.
But you're exactly right. You're exactly right.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head. You got to be yourself, man. Kids are brilliant. Kids are brilliant. They can feel when it's real and when it isn't.
Yeah.
But coach, listen, before Doug lands a plane, man, you're what's really good about our game. This game needs more and more good people just because we're in such a transactional landscape now. And we need more transformation out there. The fact that not only just that you've done what you've done, but I think people that listen to this are going to be more impressed in how you've done it and why you've done it. And because you know your why is clear as a bell. And hopefully coaches will grasp that and understand, make sure your why is about the right things. And We appreciate you jumping on, man. This has been
it's my pleasure, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to talk about basketball with you guys and what you do. So thank you for what you do.
Yeah, you got it.
A lot of people can learn from the experiences that you have had, but thank you for being on here again. And to be honest with you, I'm sure I'll see you sometime this upcoming season. I hope so. And if not, I'll be sure to make it a point to try and touch base at some point now that we're able to connect.
My gym's always open. You're welcome anytime.
Yes, sir. We appreciate you for being on here and sharing your story. And everybody out there, thank you for listening. That does it for another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Again, Alan Major, Doug Caputo here. Keep working, coaches, and keep rising. We'll see you all soon. Take care.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines.
I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.